Hi, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 8. I'm recording it on my MacBook Pro using Soundtrack Pro and my MacBook Pro's built-in microphone. To those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is my opinion and from my experience and with guitars and amps and effects and so on. Please chime in with comments and questions to my email at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Today we're going to talk about guitar magazines, primarily Vintage Guitar Magazine, which has been my favorite guitar magazine for the last few years, and Guitar Player Magazine. Neither magazine transcribes songs in their entirety, as you'll find in Guitar World or Guitar for the Practicing Musician and several other magazines, but there's a wealth of information in both of them. Years ago, I subscribed to Guitar Player Magazine and then stopped. I just kind of lost interest in it and there was a subscription issue and like they said, I didn't pay for it and I was bullheaded and just dropped it and didn't want to deal with it. So anyway, I want to compare and contrast the two just a little bit. I just started subscribing to Guitar Player again and I'm very happy with it. It's very cool. I hate to call them this, but I call them kind of grown-up Guitar Player magazines. Even when I was a kid, I viewed Guitar Player magazine as the mature Guitar Players magazine, as opposed to I had a long-term subscription to Guitar for the Practicing Musician, which, I mean, really had some high-level stuff in it, and I learned a lot from that magazine, learning songs in it and reading about modes and scales and theory and gear. And there are a lot of interviews with the top guitar players back then, but now I'm not really much into that as much as I'm interested in gear and the technology behind guitars and, you know, history guitars and vintage guitars. I'm very, very interested in vintage guitars, and hence the reason why I'm so into Vintage Guitar Magazine. All right, so I'll just start off with Vintage Guitar Magazine. I love its larger format, and the images are just amazing. The photography is really nice. It delves into the history of older bands as well as modern bands and guitar players. It tries to cover all of that. Sometimes it gets into like 16th century guitars, which is way beyond what sometimes my interest level is and my attention span. You know, it covers so much. It's really cool. I'm holding the August 2010 volume 24 number 10 magazine, and it has Steve Miller on the cover and Fret Prince with Lynyrd Skynyrd and Johnny Lang, Mark Egan, all kinds of different people. I mean, just on the cover, there's a woman with a pedal steel as well. It's pretty crazy how many different things it covers. Like the beginning of the magazine, like most of them, they have a lot of advertisements and then the table of contents and reader feedback and stuff like that. But it starts off with some guitar news, and of course, what's big in the news for the guitar world right now is the flooding in Nashville and the recovery of all those instruments. It's just an amazing thing that was happening down there, and I'm really quite amazed that there wasn't a whole lot of coverage of the flooding. I mean, the whole city was underwater. Anyway, they show a lot of guitars with a lot of water damage, some vintage guitars. It's just amazing. Something else I really love about the magazine is when they interview guitar players. I mean, sure, they're interviewing some of them for a reason, because the guitar player has a new album coming out or a solo album or they got the band back together or something like that. But sometimes they just interview a guy. What I like about it is they'll want to talk about some of the guitars in the guitar player's collection, and it's really neat. They'll have photographs with a little bit of background. They'll say this is a 57 Strat so and so used on this album or whatever. He actually got this from this other artist who used it on this song on another album. It's really, really kind of cool. But anyway, it's really neat to see their guitar collection. And I'm sure what they show in the magazine isn't their complete collection. It's just a few, which is still pretty amazing because most of these guys that they're interviewing, playing guitar has been their life. They've had the opportunity to be around, to shop around and be exposed to great deals on guitars, or they certainly can afford to throw down, you know, $150,000 on a 50s Les Paul or a vintage guitar, whatever it may be. Something else I really like about the magazine is they, in conjunction with the magazine, they have the vintage guitar price guide that you can buy. It comes out every year, and it covers acoustic guitars, electric guitars, basses, effects pedals, amps. It's just really neat. And then each month they'll have an update of if prices have changed, if a deal has gone through, somebody's made a deal and a guitar price has dropped or it's gone up or whatever, and they'll outline that just to keep you that much up to date on guitar and amp values as they go. They don't keep up with pedals so much. And even in the price guide, there's limited information about values on pedals. Sometimes if you're really wanting to know what a pedal is worth for resale or whatever, the best bet is to jump on eBay. One of my favorite columns in Vintage Guitar Magazine is one by Wolf Marshall, who, in my opinion, in guitar publications is a legend. He was transcribing songs and writing columns back when I was in high school in the 80s, and he was great back then. But one of my favorite columns is Fret Prince by Wolf Marshall. He'll dive into the history of a band or an artist, cover so much, and talk about the instruments they used, how the band was put together, essential listening, videos to watch. He talks about and he talks about if there's a lot of information on YouTube or videos on YouTube to point you there too. He gives you a great background. Overall background on a band or an artist. Wolf Marshall's great. They also have an article in here about repairs, and they'll take you step by step through repairs of even vintage guitars. One time they replaced a truss rod in a 50s Stratocaster. It was amazing. I was nervous watching looking at the photos and reading what the guy was doing. I couldn't believe that he would work on such a priceless guitar. It looked great when he was done. Something else that's needed is really kind of interactive with the reader is the reader's gallery in the very back, where readers can email photos of their guitar collection, basically outline what guitars, what the year, make, if there's any special history behind it, personal or otherwise, and that kind of brings it home. It's kind of that guitar community, you know, brought together in Vintage Guitar Magazine. Now we're going to talk about Guitar Player Magazine. As I said, it's been like a 10-year hiatus with me and the magazine. It's like kind of a standoff, me and Guitar Player Magazine. But I thought, hey, you know, I got a card in the mail for a great deal on it. I think I'm only paying like $12 a year for the subscription, something like that. I'm going, you know, $1 a magazine or so. You can't beat that. I mean, they're practically giving it to me, so I can't help but I just like, well, what's the risk there? Virtually none. This particular edition has Matt Bellamy on the cover with his crazy guitar with its chaos pad built right into the guitar. And this guy, I put him on the same level as, like, as far as guitar innovators, Tom Morello and Jimi Hendrix. And it was funny, when I was reading the article, he brought their names up, and I was like, well, that totally makes sense. Yeah, I love Tom Morello. He's just such an amazing guitar player. And the thing is, if you watch his videos on YouTube, the guy can really, he's a smoking guitar player, even if he's not using technology to make a guitar sound like something you'd never think a guitar would ever sound like. Anyway, there are a lot of neat things in this magazine. Similar advertisements as what you'd find in Vintage Guitar Magazine. Something that's really cool in this one is a picture of Carlos Santana in 1968 in the studio. A young Carlos Santana with looks like a Les Paul Special or something like that. It's pretty cool. If you haven't seen Woodstock, if you haven't seen Santana at Woodstock, you really should. Just a side note there. Really, really amazing performance. And not only what he does, but the drummer blew my mind. I was like, you know, I was watching it going, oh, this is cool. It's Santana. And then the drummer was what I came away most impressed with. And I don't even play drums. I'd love to play drums, but I can do boom crack. That's about it. Of course, both will feature small articles of new guitar players coming on the scene and new bands that kind of feature guitar. Something else Vintage Guitar does is near the back of the magazine, near the end of the magazine, they talk about new books coming out related to music, not just guitar, but music and in general, new albums and reviews. And I mean, they cover a lot of information there. When I was in high school and college, I knew so much of the music that was coming out because there's so many people all in one place and you could just keep up with all of it. Now I'm married, have a full-time job, have two daughters. Don't quite have as much time to spend sitting there perusing all the music that's out there. It's just not funny. It's not as interesting to me anymore. I'm more interested in the guitars and what the guitars can do and amps and pedals and things like that and new sounds. And if somebody turns me on to a new band, that's great. And if I'm reading the magazine, I see something in there and I read about a guy or whatever, I'll go on YouTube and listen to their music, and then if it strikes me as really interesting, like I gotta get this guy's album or this band's album or this girl's album or whatever, then that's great. I use YouTube for that quite a bit. Something that was neat about this month's Guitar Player magazine with Matt Bellamy is that they show so much of his effects and his rig, his road rig, and they talk about his equipment. And I think it's really neat that they should talk about a guitar player's equipment and show photos. It used to be that they just talk about their stuff and they just have fancy photo shoots of a guitar player posing or whatever. And that always kind of annoyed me whenever they're talking about pedals or guitars or whatever, and they wouldn't show them. I want to see them. Something that really is cool about Guitar Player Magazine is, you know, they don't cover all these songs or anything, but similar to Wolf Marshall's article or column in Vintage Guitar Magazine, he will say he's covering Skinner this month, and he will show some signature lines that really define the band or the guitar playing in the band, and just show a few things there, which is really neat. But Guitar Player, they have a lessons section. They'll cover in-depth theory, chords, different stylings. There's this one that's really cool. GIT's Dean Brown, he goes over rhythm, just really keeping good time. And it's like, it's not one of those things where, oh, this is going to make me really fast and people are going to go, oh, this is cool. This is going to make my drummer be happy with me, you know, that I'll be on time. And it's just a totally, I always said I had good time, but, you know, I haven't done this exercise yet. So this is going to be kind of my acid test to see how, you know, don't get out the metronome and start doing this and see how far off I go. Hopefully I don't go too far off, but either way, it's going to improve my guitar playing. And of course, there are lessons in here that will improve your speed and make you flashy and shred and all that good stuff. One of the things I really, really love about Guitar Player Magazine is they have this gear roundup, and they'll take either pedals or amps or whatever, and they'll compare them and show their specifications and say about, you know, the contact information, the model number, the price, channels per amp. In this case, they're covering amps. All the controls, the kind of tubes, what kind of power it has. Does it have speaker cabinets or internal speakers, or is it just a head? They'll say what was good about it and their concerns. But what I think is really super cool about this is they show the front of the amp, they talk about the amp, but they show the internal circuitry. Now, if you don't, you know, if you're only about, okay, it sounds good or whatever, that's great, or it's about a price. But for me, I would love to seeing that the Dynamic Music Technologies 2040 VA is point-to-point circuitry. It's hand-wired, and you can see it. You can just look at it. You see the circuit board. It's beautiful. And then you turn the page, and you see a Kendrick. It's their version of a Bassman, a 5859 Bassman, and you can see that it's all point-to-point. And that just, I mean, that really turns me on. That's the Ignator, and I guess that's the way you pronounce it. And I'm expecting it to be that way too, but it's a PC board. But it has all sorts of gadgets and such on it. I mean, I think technically it's considered a boutique amp, but for me, if it's not point to point, it's not really a boutique amp. That's just me. Another little side note there, but I love that about this magazine when they'll take an amp, take a bunch of amps and show you the insides of them. Because if I go to a guitar store, can I ask them, you know, sometimes you can ask them and they will know, yes, this is point to point. No, or I think they use a PC board or whatever. They say, hey, I'd like to see the chassis. Can you open up the chassis? I want to see the circuitry. And they're like, yeah, go ahead and try that sometime. Go to your local guitar store and try that. I won't. Something I really loved, the way they wrap up the magazine each issue, is the very last thing they have is a column with Steve Lukather, and it's called Session Stories, and it's just kind of anecdotal stories about his time in sessions and everything, and it's just really neat. He seems to be a great guy. I just love the things he talks about in there, and just his experiences as a studio musician, and then playing with Toto, and just being just an awesome guitar player. But that's I love the way they wrap that up. They both magazines do a good job wrapping things up at the end, where Vintage Guitar uses, you know, the reader's gallery to make it more of a community. It's like, hey, yeah, look at my guitars. Hey, I like your guitars, and that sort of thing. And you're looking at their photos, and then Guitar Player wrapping up with a veteran guitar player just telling a little bit about the way it was. So if you're wanting something a little bit different from just the typical guitar magazine that has lots of songs transcribed in it, you want to dig a little deeper, I highly recommend these two magazines. Perhaps sometime I'll pick up a handful of the other magazines and kind of give a review of them as well. Vintage Guitar Magazine, I think, has been kind of a low budget operation for quite some time, because I when I first saw them, the whole thing was newsprint. And I was kind of turned off by it, but they had really big name guys on the cover, and it seemed real interesting. But I don't know, call me what you will, but I didn't pick it up until they started making this nicer format. And now I want to find some of the older issues because there's definitely valuable information in those magazines. So pick them up at your guitar store or at your newsstand or whatever. Give it a shot. If you dig it, I always look forward to the 5th of every month, that by then my Vintage Guitar Magazine should show up. And near the end of the month, mid to late month, latter part of the month, my Guitar Player Magazine shows up. So they kind of stagger fairly well. So I hope that helped out. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please chime in with comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net. I'll either reply back on email or on a future show. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.